Okay, this is the offering. Just a verse and a thought for the offering. It's Psalm 116, verse 1, since it's prayer day. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. And it's true, you know, sometimes we're like, actually, you know, do we really, you know, it's revealed to us, you know, I don't really love the Lord, you know. And it's like, oh, how could I love God more? You know, if I loved him more, I would do, you know, this more. Thinking about that, like, positionally, we have this love, inherent love for God in the new man, and we have received the love of God. But experientially, you know, maybe we prefer, like, flicking, you know, rubber bands at a target in the living room than to pray or read the Bible. And you can, here's the thing, we can get condemned and say, oh man, I don't, you know, love the Lord, you know. I love rubber bands more than God. what can we do, you know? What is it like try more to love him? In that place, instead of beating myself up, I can say, I can receive forgiveness. One of the sources of love for God is, you know, she loves much because she has been forgiven much. And that's another opportunity to love God more. I can receive forgiveness. God, you love me in this state. Wow. And that, guess what happens, you know? I start to, like, love God, you know. Love comes into my heart for God. And then the verse we just read, we pray. I could say one prayer and I'm going to love God more because he's going to hear it. And that's going to touch my heart. I'm going to get to know God that loves us. And then actually we're sitting here tonight because, oh, wow, I love you, God, you know. You've touched me so much in this church, in my life. Thousands of days you've fed me, you've taken care of me, you've loved me, you speak your word to me, and you minister mercy and grace, and we love you, you know. And one expression of love is giving. So we just, you know, we're thankful, and Lord bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Is that Tim Schlegel over there? Wow, the Iron Man. Good to see you. Oh, excellent. Tonight I want to just share just one thought with you tonight. Is it sound okay? Sounds okay, good. One thought with you tonight, and I think we'll be stirred up by it, by the subject. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I just sense the anointing here, really, in a beautiful way. What a beautiful song that was. Awesome. Have you ever been caught kind of sleeping? Like right now? Have you ever caught sleeping at the switch? Have you ever been caught off guard? Have you ever kind of woken up out of your stupor and been surprised The house is on fire. I think we all have our stories. Maybe driving a car, you fell asleep and woke up, and you're driving on the median strip, the grass strip of the highway. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever woke up and realized you didn't get paid when you should have? How about in math class, you kind of woke up and realized, huh? How about it? Yes, it's happened to us. Many ways to illustrate that. So that's what I want to speak about tonight. And stir our hearts. Because we have a lot going on in the world today. And in our own lives. We have our work, our homes. Should I elaborate a little bit? I think so, because why do people know when to bring their garbage out? How do they know that? What, because the other neighbors brought their garbage out to the street? My wife seems to know those kind of things. Like, how do you know that it's on Monday and Thursday? You know? Okay, I'm in another category. Imagine an epidemic and, you know, a whole group of people are taken out and they didn't know that the water was polluted. It happened in the Civil War when a camp was using the water on the river and they didn't know that 50 miles upriver was another camp that were polluting the river, as you can imagine, and that's flowing down, and this whole camp gets sick. Who's the commanding officer of that group? Right? In our political situation of today, and we see it in what is going on, but who knows what is going on and where we are heading and what will happen in a year or two or five or ten. Hello, the Lord says to us, do not sleep. The end of Matthew 24. Let's take a look at that. Matthew. Purpose of this is to encourage us. I think the Lord will do that for us tonight. I love it that we're here. It's amazing. Matthew 24, verse 49. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's got to be the greatest mess up that I could ever commit. That what? The Lord came back? What? Like these Christians, they're right. What? Wow. What happened to me? There was a volcano, was it 1815? I think it was in Indonesia. Took out 100,000 people. Through history, things have happened. And it's, wake up. Wake up. What's happening? What's happening? I have the great blessing of having fallen asleep many times. Driving a car, as I mentioned, it did happen to me, and I rolled the car over. and broke a few ribs and was spitting dirt and glass out of my mouth, hanging upside down, strapped in a seatbelt on the Mass Pike. Hallelujah, nobody was with me and nobody was hurt. Wow. What happened? Well, I was taking an antibiotic, and I didn't realize it could cause me to be sleepy. But if you knew me, I don't need to be sleepy. I don't need to take an antibiotic to be sleepy. How about, have you ever, maybe you were in a college class and there's the final and you sleep through it? Ooh. Ooh. That happened to Pastor Shabelli, I'm sure. Okay, now look at Matthew 25, please. Verse 10. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. There is a great allegory, you know it. It's the Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And it goes like this, basically. There is the city of destruction. He makes his way on a journey to the celestial city. Along the way, he passes Doubting Castle, the Slough of Despondency. And then finally, towards the end, is called what was called the Enchanted Ground. And it was where he and Hopeful almost fell asleep. And I think it was Hopeful who said, Oh, my eyes are heavy. I just want to sleep. Let us lie down here. It is green and lush, and the meadow is cool, and I just want to sleep. And Christian said, No. No, we can't. And Hopeful said, Why? He said, Because maybe we'll never wake up. We have to keep going. We have to go to the celestial city. We have to keep moving. We have to go. In the story, it seems that particular part of the trip was the one that catches people most easily. I kind of feel it as a believer that this is what has taken out a lot of useful believers, that they found the enchanted ground where it was so comfortable and so peaceful and so easy. And it is so easy for this to happen. We see it happening in our very rich country, very comfortable country, where there is a kind of a stress here. On the other hand, it's very easy for believers to go to sleep. I think so. Because here is a Wednesday night, and we are packed in here. Hallelujah. Here is a Wednesday night, and where we want to be with somebody who's going to kind of say, Hey, wait, hey, yes, hey, this, you get the point. Yeah. So turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 with me, and the first few verses, about 7 actually. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. I love it when the Lord is able to keep us off balance a little bit. Say the economy may not be very good. To say that there is a disease, a new virus. To say that the global political situation is dangerous, that there's nuclear weapons in huge numbers. that as ISIS gets their hands on one of them, and all of this kind of talk. In a way, it can frighten you. But on the other hand, maybe this is good, because we're living right underneath a volcano that could go off someday, and the Lord is saying, stay awake, watch, wait, be prepared. I am with you. I have a mission for you. I have something that I need you to do. And one of the missionaries years ago wrote a book called The Chocolate Soldier. And he talked about a soldier who was very good in the battlefield, but when the war was over and he was back home, he turned into a slothful chocolate soldier. When the battle is hot and heavy and he's fast on his feet and he knows how to make decisions and he's carrying a weapon and he's leading a group of people, he's on fire. But when there is no war, he's a different person. This is the text, I think, in principle, concept, verse 2. For yourselves know, brethren, perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Can't you see him coming at a time like this one? Can't you see him coming in a time where it's more and more unusual to have people with this kind of faith, where we have this conviction by the Spirit and we have something going on in our hearts and we get stirred up in the Spirit and we are freshly anointed in believing. By the way, often in the Bible, when guys went to sleep, they were targeted. When Saul was sleeping, Abner, his great, mighty man, was sleeping. And David came in and he took the garment and he took the... Samson went to sleep on Delilah's lap and he got a haircut within a short time. Falling asleep, the disciples in Gethsemane, falling asleep is something that happens to us very easily, but we want to know the hour and would like to know the urgency and be with the kind of people that will stir my heart. And we talk often one to another about these things because I'm convinced we don't see life the way it's intended to be seen. And we'll talk about that too in a minute. Verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren. So verse 3 is about the world, peace and safety, and then sudden destruction. But you, brethren, verse 4, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. You, brethren, have some sense of, I could sleep in the enchanted ground, but we must press on because we're going to the celestial city. Very soon, we'll be in the celestial city. Let's press on. There's something here for us to do. There is a purpose that we embrace. There is the Spirit moving quietly, ever so gently, like a dove. But he is active. The flesh is weak and would like to sleep, but the Spirit is willing. And the Spirit is leading us in faith and leading us in what it is that he would have us do. What he would have us do. It's kind of like at the end of the journey, maybe in a way at the end of your life, that's where the tendency is to kind of say, I know. But there is the Spirit of God that awakens you and I to the purpose and the vision and the mission. We are part of it. Others go, I stay behind with the stuff. But that's important because we must stay and be part of the whole thing. You know the story in 1 Samuel 30. Jesus is sending us, so send I you. The Lord is stirring us at Pentecost and saying, your persecution is not a problem. Awake, wake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead. Christ shall give you light. Verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. It's amazing. We're different. We're not of the night. We're of the day. Like you see things in the daytime. Another thing about sleeping is you're sleeping and it's insecure for you because you have to be safe when you go to sleep. You can't sleep out on the street. You got to be in a safe place as best you can. I remember falling asleep at a train station and being afraid somebody's going to step on me because the only place to sleep was on the floor in the Ukraine. Many stories. One, there's about 40 of us in the Ukraine on a train, and Pastor Chris said, we can get off here. We got off, and we were there buying some cookies and water, talking. We're preaching in the train station. Well, we didn't know it, but the train was leaving with about 30 of our people. And there was 10 or 15 of us. We go back to the train. Pastor Chris said, oh, it's not supposed to go right. It was like cops and robbers. We got in a taxi and started racing to catch the train down the road. We just missed it. And we said to the taxi driver, the next one. He gets out the map. We ended up making it. We get on the train. Nobody missed us. Hour and a half later, through treacherous journeys, often, and we get on the train. That's a crazy story. Costs $150, I think, the whole thing. Oh, yeah, but I didn't pay for it. Pastor Taggart paid for it. No, he didn't. Hey, wake up, the Lord is saying to us. And he gives his beloved sleep in Psalm 3. Hallelujah. Well, how did God make Eve? He put Adam to sleep. Now, I don't want you involved in this at all. And when he slept, something good came out. Jesus was asleep on the ship, wasn't he? And there wasn't any problem with that. Sleep is a great thing, but essentially, at the very deepest level, at that point that is most important, I cannot be sleeping. That's the next verse here, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. And he means other Christians. Well, what do you mean other Christians are sleeping? Well, should we elaborate? No, let's move on. Are they sleeping? I went to a church one place. I couldn't hear him. I had no idea what he said. It was like, you know, is everybody, you know, does anybody know what he's saying? But no, this is the way it goes in that church. They're sleeping. Their songs they're sleeping. The same prayers are said, they're sleeping. Their preaching, there is sleeping. The mission, it is sleeping. The private life, they are sleeping. And there's a huge thing that's about to happen. Christ is coming. There's a huge thing that is about to happen. We're going to the celestial city. We're going to meet Christ. This is how we stay awake. I got three ways to stay awake. In a minute. Okay, let's read it one more time. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be gravitas. Okay, gravity. sober, have some weight, or let's be watch and be serious. I was on a train with a brother, and we were waiting to leave. The train next to us left, and we were waiting, and we should have left a half an hour ago, just about the same time that train had left. What happened? We were sitting on the wrong train. That was our train. This is not our train. Anybody can identify? I was on a subway. I got off. I knew the stop. I got off the stop. I missed it by one. So I got off, went on the other side, came back. I missed it by two. Going back. In Poland, we see this city. Now, the Polish language is unique. I mean, only angels can speak, and in the Polish people. But there are seven S sounds, okay? Seven. Okay. Seven. Well, there's a name of a town in Poland that we're supposed to go to. And Kevin, I said, Kevin, is that it? I think that's it. We're on a train. So the train is just starting to... We jump off while it's going. Guys, we realized last minute, because I just woke up from a nap. So we jump off, and because I've already thought about jumping off a train, and I knew I can't jump off like perpendicular. You jump off running with the train, okay? So I knew that, but he didn't know that. So he jumps off perpendicular, his feet hit, and of course he goes many ways this way. Somebody on the train sees it. They pull the emergency cord, about 5 minutes later. And we get up off the ground, we kind of dust ourselves off, and we're okay. And Kevin is saying, I'm not okay. Okay, we get to the town, we go there, it's the wrong... It's the wrong one. We have to take a taxi another hour to go to the right place. So crazy. Wake up! Hello, wake up. Verse 6, watch and be sober. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night. We are not doing that right now. We are not doing that. They sleep in the night. We are of the day. We are of the day. We're here today. And there's three things we'll finish up. Number one, you know how I stay awake? Being with you. You help me. You know how I say, wait, you sharpen. You kind of say, hello, good morning, good morning. Remember how your teacher would do it in school, come in high school? Hello, good morning, wake up, let's go. We got school, Monday morning. Woohoo, Monday. And you go, you know, just. Hey, being with the believers that are going somewhere. That's who I want to travel with. I want to travel with people that believe in what we're doing. I want to go on a Saturday outreach, and I encourage you to put Saturday outreach in your schedule in some measure. Many of us do it all the time, and we've been doing it for 40 years. And soul winning on Saturday, because we just feel that God is in it, and we enjoy it, and we're together, we talk about Christ, we share the message. Saturday morning by 10 o'clock, right down here at the end of the plaza. When we come here across the parking lot together, when we talk together, when we pray together, being with you. Number two, I stay awake by thinking of the importance of what we do. Because I remember nobody ever told me about Christ until I was 19 years of age. I was in a Christian country, but nobody said it to me. If somebody had just talked to me, it would have been amazing. We have seen it happen around the world where people have these amazing testimonies. We are laboring in a vineyard. Pastor Hadley gave an amazing testimony the other day about his work with the police in Baltimore and how much they love the chaplains and how the chaplains can diffuse antagonistic conversation. How the chaplains can arrive on a scene in a home with domestic violence and the chaplain can sit with a person and give a word of love and encouragement. It's a great idea for the nation that chaplains in Detroit and all over the country would be part of the policing that needs to be done. And this is by our commissioner here and his staff and that brother, forget his name. Is he going to be our speaker, by the way? It's Pastor. Pastor Philippe Siragi here. What? Okay, not confirmed. Okay, number one, people I'm with. Number two, thinking about the importance of what we're doing. People literally get saved by God's grace. God saves them and brings them to heaven. And then the third thing that keeps us awake is the cross. I was thinking this is like my alarm bell in the morning, kind of. The cross, when Christ said, my God, he cried out. When he carried all the sins of the world, it wakes me up. When the tomb is empty, it wakes me up. When he gives me these promises, it wakes me up. That he is the one that all my reality hinges off of this one. All of my consciousness is relating to him. What he has done, how he's alive, and he made us alive. All the Spirit of God is pointing to him at the cross. This is the place where we awake to the important things. And let him take care of our lives, but lose our lives and find our journey being awake in what we do. And then actually there's a fourth one. And I encourage you to get in the habit of this. I do it every week. I read Revelation 20, chapter 20, 21, and 22 about heaven. The reason I do it is because I'm going there. And it seems every time I read it, I get a little bit of something. It's like, oh, that is interesting. And a little bit of something. Interesting things keep you awake. Boring things put you to sleep. Interesting things keep you awake. We're actually going to be going to heaven. We're going to be with people. We're actually going to be there very soon. We're on our way. We're on a journey, a pilgrimage through the earth. And along the way, we're saying, we cannot sleep now, hopeful. This is enchanted ground. I know you feel like sleeping. You feel like being alone. You feel like withdrawing. You feel like just leave me alone, let me be. But hopeful, we cannot do that now. They do that in the night, but we are not of the night. We are of the day. We are laboring in the day. We are awake in the day. We have something going on in the day. We are soul winners in the daytime. We go to the church in the daytime. We are awake. There is a volcano that will erupt, or an epidemic, or the ship is sinking. How many people know that the Titanic, when it was going down, the captain ordered for the symphony, the orchestra to play? As they're playing their instruments, the ship is sinking in an hour or two, and it's gone. And they played as it went down. Well, we are also active and involved. I praise God for that. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are in a church that is awake. We all know how easy. Leave me alone and I'll fall asleep. I may live my own life and I'll be sleeping in a village somewhere. Doing something of some kind that just has so little relevance, so little importance in the eternal scheme of things. But you have spoken to us. you have drawn us. He said, watch and be sober. Watch and wait. I'm coming. I'm coming. When you think I'm delayed, you're going to go do your own thing. And you're going to go sleep and not care. But I'm here so that you care. I'm here so that you would labor. I'm here so that you would attend. I'm here so you would pray. I'm here so you would care. I'm here so you'd be reaching out. I'm here so you go to Europe this summer or Asia, to high school. Or I'm here so you'd be in Baltimore. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Bless our families in this way too. Bless our loved ones, our friends. Bless our affiliated ministries everywhere. Thank you, Lord. We would be awake. Yes. And then give an invitation like this one. Your life is valuable. God's hand is on you. He's asking you to believe in His Son. He's asking you to turn from your life and put your trust in God. God will save you. You say, I love my sin too much. I love my own way too much. I'm independent. I don't want any of that stuff.